Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we're talking about the South by Southwest Festival, which takes place in Shoreditch in London from the 1st to the 6th of June. SXSW is a global festival for business, technology and creativity and consists of conferences, talks, a music showcase and a screen festival. Adem Holness is head of music for SXSW and I asked him to tell me more about it.
South by Southwest started in Austin, Texas about 40 years ago and has grown to be the largest gathering of creative industry professionals anywhere in the world. It's a conference and a festival of new music, of new film and TV, of new technology. It's a place that businesses from across the creative industries come to see and to share what's new and what's next. We are the European edition of the festival, based in London, and we launched last year in 2025 and are about to have our second festival in just a couple of weeks, in the first week of June.
Why was it set up then? I mean, originally, but then also to bring it to London?
Well, it was originally created for artists who weren't based in New York or LA to make inroads into industry, into the music industry, and then became about other kind of creative practices, also having a platform to showcase, and then became about somewhere that people come to have discussion and debate around the future of the creative industries. And we launched in last year in London with a lot of those kind of core ambitions at the heart of what we're trying to do, for being a platform for artists who we think are exciting and have the potential to go on to do great things, and also to bring those businesses from across the UK, across Europe and beyond to come together.
Tell me a bit about your role then as head of music. What does that involve?
It involves lots of fun, actually. So my role is I'm responsible for all of the music content that happens in the festival and in the business. This year, that's about 200 artists who are showcasing alongside music networking events, music industry events, and we have lots of music conference sessions, panel discussions, fireside chats, keynote speeches. We've got people like Odomodo Black showcasing with us this year, Tiwa Savage, bands like Shame, Infinity Song, and yeah, lots of other really exciting music.
So let's talk about the music aspect of the festival then, and particularly the sessions that you've got with radio stations. You've got community stations coming, you've got big stations, like there's a session with BBC Introducing, BBC Asian Network as well. How can radio get involved with SXSW?
So it's a showcase festival. So what we try to do is platform some of the most exciting new and rising artists to the industry. And we do that by taking over about 20 different venues across Shoreditch for the week. Some like amazing grassroots DIY venues. But when we started creating the festival, I really wanted to do that in a way that felt true to the fabric of music in London as I know it. I'm born and raised in London. And the thing that I really love about London is it's somewhere you can experience music and culture from all around the world. You know, I love that you can step out of any tube station and find yourself in a really distinct community.
Yeah.
And so I wanted each of the venues to have that same feeling that, you know, if you go into Village Underground on a Wednesday, it's totally different to going into XOY on the same day or on the next day, or, you know, whenever you're joining us. And the way that we achieve that is by working with what we call co-curators. And those are platforms, radio stations, collectives, people who are embedded in specific music scenes, platforming the future of music from their own unique perspectives. Yeah, having like underground DIY radio stations from Seoul, Korea, right next to BBC Introducing or BBC Asia Network and all of the things in between felt like a really, really important way to do that. You know, radio, certainly in my life, has always been at the forefront of new music scene to new music culture. So having that perspective feels really, really important.
There's a lot more community radio stations now, isn't there? I find that they're springing up all over and there's a lot more grassroots radio. So how are you going to reflect that at the festival?
Well, we've got some of those showcases. You know, I mentioned people like Seoul Community Radio, who are an underground radio station based in Seoul, Korea. And they are taking over a venue and presenting artists, some of the most exciting artists from their perspective. And we ask, you know, other stations who show up at the festival to do the same. But we also have a press accreditation. And so the, you know, tastemakers from across Radio can apply to attend the festival for free. You get a pass and you get access to the media lounge, and we help kind of support and connect those journalists, those tastemakers with the people in the conversations who are kind of driving culture forward through the festival. So that might be the artists or speakers or the businesses who are showing up.
Tell me a bit about some of the sessions then. How are they formed? I mean, you've got different types of sessions where you've got, you're showcasing music, or have you got Q&As, or you've got keynote speakers. Just go a bit deeper into what the sessions involve.
Yeah, so the music showcases, their performances by new and rising artists. We're a bit like the kind of trade fair for the creative industries. So it's a chance to get a snapshot at what people across the industry are presenting as the kind of future of their work. So the showcases are performances. But then the conference sessions can be anything from, I mean, we've got a conversation with people like Jodie Harsh and other people who work kind of across the nighttime industry, talking about the future of nightlife and club culture. And so we've got kind of conversations like that. We've got Q&As with people like DJ AG, talking about kind of his work and how he's defined a platform, a new media platform through TikTok, how he platforms artists. And we've got a really exciting format called group chats, which are a series of roundtable discussions where people can get up close and personal to some of the experts and leaders who are driving change in the industry. The festival really is about bringing together independently minded people who are pioneering across technology, creative businesses, culture, and putting them in a room to be part of, in person, shaping the future together.
You mentioned TikTok there. There was a time years ago when the only way to break new music was on radio. That's not the case now. Tell me how you're going to reflect how things are changing and moving rapidly at the festival when it comes to things like artists just going on TikTok and then getting signed and navigating the industry in a completely different way.
Well, I think about new music, not just about individual artists. Like, of course, there's like amazing success stories, and I feel really proud as a Brit of like artists like Olivia Dean and Ray, who are going on to, you know, the global stage. And
two of my favourites there.
Yeah, and you know, both making amazing music and representing themselves first, and then you know that they're kind of this country on the global stage beautifully. But for me, what's really, really important is not just looking at individual artists in isolation, but the context that they're in and the scene that they're in. And yeah, you can have a song that's a smash on TikTok or streaming platforms, but I think what's really exciting are those underground scenes that bubble up and develop and then break through to the mainstream. In recent years, UK jazz scene's been a really great example of that coming out of the UK. But you see it across the globe, are these scenes that might start in a hyper-local, hyper-specific way, you know, drill coming out of Detroit, developing and becoming something else. Same with house. You know, these music scenes begin somewhere locally, specifically with often a distinct community, and then the music connects with people and other people become part of it. I think that's what we try to reflect by having some of those really exciting underground global scenes presenting themselves at the festival. So not just looking at artists in isolation.
Hello, South by Southwest
London. The power is in the hands of the creative. Let's get into it.
There is no better place in the world for tech, for AI, for film, for fashion, for music.
First impression of South by Southwest London is super cool.
Everything from the people to the diversity of topics, 10 out of 10, top tier.
We have shared vision. We have maximum diversity of storytellers, technologists, philosophers.
It is a really, really good opportunity for us all to get together and talk about the future.
Yes, make some noise.
It's play hard, work hard in its best form.
I'm certainly looking forward to coming back, and I haven't even left yet.
Do you feel that festivals like yours do shape what radio stations play on traditional music radio?
I think it's a ecology, right? We feed each other. I think, you know, I still turn to radio to get inspired and discover new music. But I also hope that some of those people who are, well, I know they are because I know they're coming to the festival, the people who are platforming artists and programming artists on radio are coming to us to discover exciting music scenes and artists as well. So, it's, you know, it's about an ecology of us kind of all working together to surface great new music.
It's a collaboration, isn't it? Your stations are only going to find new artists through things like your festival, and you're going to find ways of putting that music out through the festival. Yeah, it's a real collaborative thing. You've got sessions on what is always a hot topic, AI. How's the festival going to tackle that subject when it comes to music and radio?
AI is here to stay in society, and it's completely threaded through all of the strands of the conference program. And so we're all looking at what it means for us in our industry, in our kind of respective industries. You know, I think the thing that I'm really excited about with emerging technologies is what happens when artists are able to utilize it as tools. Like I remember how, I don't remember because I wasn't actually there then, but I remember learning about the fear that people had around drum machines when they were first being introduced, that it would replace real musicians. And out of that technology, we got hip hop and then all kinds of electronic music. And it, you know, once the creatives and the artists and the composers and the writers have more tools, they can create things that are amazing. And so that's what I'm personally really interested in, is what new technology tools can mean for artists and their ability to create. So that's what I'm really interested in surfacing. But then, of course, you've got to have certainly through the conference, got to have the difficult conversations about what the impacts of new technology mean on existing infrastructure, on the rights of artists and creatives. So yeah, for us, themes around AI are absolutely essential to the future of music and culture and society. So lots of hot conversations around that in the conference.
You can understand the fear though, can't you? I mean, you mentioned there about drum machines, and I am old enough to remember a time when electronic music came in and New Romantics, and there was this, you know, it's going to replace proper musicians. And in the end, it didn't. It worked alongside and it enhanced. And like you say, it brought us all kinds of amazing music and different ways of creating music. But I think the fear is with this, it's going to replace people.
I am a music fan first, but, you know, beyond before anything. So I don't think, you know, there will always be, I hope, amazing artists created, you know, who have inbuilt genius, creativity, but also people who are committed to developing the skills to create great music. You know, we just mentioned Ray, for instance. To me, she's like both of those things. She's got this like clearly amazing kind of just born talent, but she approaches her music making with like such craft. And so I'm really optimistic that the same thing will happen in future as we develop. But part of that craft and that skill will be about how people use emerging technologies to approach their music making. And yeah, I'm kind of excited. Who knows what sounds we're going to get and how what it will do to music. And that's how I feel about it.
Now, it's lovely to hear that take on it, actually, because there is so much fear and suspicion. To hear someone with genuine optimism about what it can do rather than what it might replace is actually really refreshing. It's really good to hear.
You know, I look at artists like Jay Dilla. Like, we never would have got him if he didn't have the ability to sample records and access to drum machines. And to me, that's some of my favorite music to listen to, alongside, you know, organic instruments.
It's collaboration again, isn't it? It comes back down to collaboration. It's working alongside and mixing the two worlds together, and who knows what we can create. What else is happening at the festival then? Tell us a bit more about the wider festival, because it's music, but there's lots of other stuff as well.
Yeah, there's an entire screen program. So there's absolutely loads of film, television shows being premiered at the festival. Super global as well, just like the music program. Short films, feature films from all around the world, and TV premieres too. And then, yeah, there's, I think, about 1,000 different speakers across the entire conference program. So it's absolutely huge. Last year, we saw about 20,000 people, delegates attend, plus then about 10,000 music and film vans. So a lot of people are kind of come in their work capacity as delegates and get passes that way. But we also do kind of more public focused tickets. So you can buy a day wristband to just see the music for from £25. And then lots of the film and TV premieres have individual tickets. So you can come and see just one of those. You can kind of get in as deep as you want to. You can be with us for the whole week and consume all that content, or you can kind of pop in and get a taster in our second year and decide maybe there's opportunity to get more involved in year three. I think for people who are embedded in like really exciting music scenes and they want to present and represent those scenes at our festival, it's completely open to apply to get involved. Of course, the festival's in 3 weeks, so we're not currently open for submissions, but we will open up again in autumn for the next year. People should get involved, come and experience the festival this year, and then maybe bring their perspective on the future of music to us for 2027.
A big thank you to Adem for being our guest. If you'd like to know more about the festival, then go to their website, sxswlondon.com. And there is a discount code for members of the Audio Academy for the festival on our website. If you're coming to the podcast show today, Wednesday, 20th of May, or tomorrow at the Business Design Centre in Islington, then come and find us on the Audio Academy stand and come and say hello. We've got biscuits and it's a great place to have a chat, take a breather and relax. Thursday is the night of the year as it's the Arias at the Roundhouse in Camden. There's still time to get your ticket for the Oscars of the radio and audio industry. So go to audioacademy.org.uk for all the details and to book. It promises to be an amazing night with our incredible hosts Rylan and Tyler West on the purple carpet. Next week's podcast will be the first part of highlights from the Arias ceremony and some backstage interviews with the winners. I'll see you next week.